Since we are celebrating Catholic Schools Week, I just wanted to maybe begin with a little recognition and appreciation. Would all of our school students and PSR students all stand? Our school and PSR students, please stand. Okay. I want to thank you for being students here, for being good students here, and making this a wonderful school. We appreciate you. And would all of our teachers and staff who are present today please stand? Most of them came last night. Patty's here. And also a thank you to our parents for sending your kids to school here and to PSR here as we celebrate our Catholic faith and the Catholic education we receive. And last but not least, a thank you to all of our parishioners who support that endeavor. Since it is Catholic Schools Week, I thought it might be appropriate if we begin this homily with a quiz. And so I'd ask you to take out your songbooks and open to page 67. Page 67. On page 67, you will find our second reading from St. Paul about love. And it helps us to look at our lives, to examine ourselves, if we were to take out the word love and insert our names. And this is your quiz today. It's 15 points, because there are 15 things, and it goes somewhat like this. I'll give you an example for myself. Father Matt is patient. No point. Father Matt is kind. Maybe half a point. Father Matt is not jealous. Father Matt is not pompous. Father Matt is not inflated. Well, I get a point there. Father Matt is not rude. Father Matt does not seek his own interest. Father Matt is not quick-tempered. Father Matt does not brood over injury. Father Matt does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Father Matt bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Father Matt never fails. Don't think so. How would you do on that quiz? Maybe 1 point, 2 points, 3 points? You see, we all like to call ourselves loving people, but we tend to tweak the definition of love to meet our way of living instead of changing our way of living to meet the definition of love. What is love? Perhaps a better question, and more accurately put it, is who is love? Take that verse there and insert, instead of love, insert the word God or Jesus. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is not jealous. Jesus is not pompous, is not inflated, is not rude, does not seek his own interest, is not quick-tempered, so forth and so on. Jesus never fails. He gets a good score, doesn't he? You see, when we define love by something we do, we tend to fail. We tend to do miserably on this quiz. But when we define love by something that God does and is, then we score really well. So the key becomes not trying to be more loving as such, but rather trying to be more like Jesus, and then we naturally become more loving. You see, it's about identifying primarily with a person, not just a value. Remember, Scripture says that God is love. We really can substitute the word God in there. And we want to be able to substitute our own name in there, but we can only do that by knowing and being like the God who is love. And so the key to becoming more loving is getting to know the God who is love and becoming more like him. You know, there's a lot of schools out there that teach values. Even our public schools on some level teach values. There are private schools that teach values. But one thing that's different about our schools is we don't just teach values. In fact, we're not in the business of education as much as we are formation. Like the Old Testament talks about the hands of the potter molding the clay. The clay being likened to those of us who are earthly, this matter. That God molds us into an image of His Son. In fact, what is the mission of our Catholic schools? To form Christian disciples. Not to give Catholic education. Not to get our students to memorize a bunch of prayers. To form disciples of Christ, followers of Jesus. And you're formed because you are shaped into the image of Jesus. And that goes for not only our school students, but each one of us. How can I become formed into an image of Jesus? You know, I was praying with this yesterday, and I got to thinking, I am most like who? And I was just kind of pondering this. You know, I was like, well, how have I been formed, and who am I most like? I was like, well, I'm kind of like my mom and dad, you know? All the good parts and even some of the bad ones too. Not that there's any bad in mom and dad, if they're listening to this. I'm like my siblings. There were personality traits of my siblings that rubbed off on me. I know that, you know, some very formative years are our high school and our college years. I look back and think, gosh, I kind of picked up this personality trait from this guy in college and maybe this bad habit from this other guy in college. You see, as human beings, we tend to become what we surround ourselves with, don't we? I mean, it's just natural, and it's how God created us. We are formed by those exterior influences. Just as hands shape and mold clay, we are molded by our surroundings. And what we expose ourselves, and more importantly, who we expose ourselves to, is what molds us. So perhaps the key to being more loving, which is being more like Jesus, is simply being around Jesus more. But how much do we do that? Something that I've been very convicted of since I came to Christ the King is the need to have more adoration. And this past week, last week, it really hit me that God is calling me to make that happen in our parish. And I want to commend you guys on all the work that we've done. We've done so much in the last 5 years, haven't we, here at Christ the King? But if we renew our facilities and we can have more Bible studies and, you know, we can have a better celebration of the Eucharist, but if it's not all centered on the presence of Jesus, then it's all for naught. Being at adoration is simply being in the presence of God. And just like we are formed by the people and the things we surround ourselves with, that's exactly what we need to become more like Jesus, is to simply be in His presence and let Him form us. And I know, because I go to adoration, and sometimes I honestly hate it. I hate it because God's reaching out with His hands, and He's squeezing there, and He's molding there, and He's reshaping there, and it's not always pleasant. To be honest, for the first 5 years of being here at Christ the King as your pastor, I did not have a regular adoration hour. I was scared to. Honestly, I'm scared to come over to this church and pray. Why? Because absolutely, and I have complained to God about this, every time I come over, without fail, one of you comes and nabs me while I'm trying to pray. And I always am okay with that, because I figure that's what God wants me to do, right? But I was always scared to have that holy hour because I thought, well, what if somebody comes and needs something? What if somebody's dying during that time and I've got to run to the hospital and I'm the only one here? What do I do? And so I was always scared to take that time. and something always seems to come up, you know, like life. But this past year, I decided, you know what? If I don't make that the priority over everything else, then everything else is kind of worthless. And God has blessed that. He's given me the time. So far, absolutely nothing has come up to get in the way. Nothing. And I feel more formed and shaped and molded and, pray God, more like Jesus. And we each need that. Jesus said to his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, "Would you not wait 1 hour with me?" We have 180 some hours in a week. Can we spend one of it just being in the presence of Jesus? You see, if we want to be more loving people, then there's only one way. And the one who said that he is the way is the one who is love. And it's not changing our values or trying to live up to certain values. It's changing our priorities and increasing our time with the only one who can satisfy. Because there is only one. And do not fall into the lie that something else can. You know, our diocese is so blessed with not only Catholic education, but we have one of the highest priestly vocations per capita in the whole nation. And there's one reason for that, and then that is Eucharistic adoration. Everything flows from that. I want to close by sharing with you a story from a woman whose name we'll refer to as Nora. And she gives her testimony about her experience. "I've been praying during my weekly hour of adoration over many years for my husband to return to Mass and the sacraments, as he has been away from them for 26 years. He didn't even enter the church when our children made their first communions and confirmations. On a wet and very cold winter's day, he dropped me off at the adoration chapel for my hour of adoration and asked me to hurry out after my hour as he wanted to go to an important meeting. After the hour, he came to collect me and waited outside in the car. After waiting for an extra 20 minutes, he lost patience and ran into the adoration chapel to hurry me out. I pretended not to see him, and he sat down very impatiently for some minutes. Finally, I got up and left, and he came speedily after me. I was expecting a lot of anger and complaints because I stayed longer than the hour and kept him waiting. Having gotten to the car, he turned to me and said, calmly and quietly, 'I am not going to that meeting I mentioned, but instead I am going to the priest at the rectory and going to ask him to hear my confession.' Something came over me as I entered the adoration chapel, and I feel God calling me back again. He got confession that day and became a daily Mass goer and a weekly adorer for the very first time. Brothers and sisters, I hear over and over the miracles and the stories of those who attend an hour of adoration each week. Be one of those stories.